What happens if the person you're divorcing is an attorney or a business owner, like a CEO, or somebody who just seems to know the system way better than you do? Well, we've got you, and we're going to tell you exactly what to do on this episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. If you're going through a divorce or you're thinking about getting a divorce, then this is the podcast for you. We give you the unpopular opinions no one else is talking about that will save you thousands of dollars on your divorce. Hosted by Morgan Stogsdill, the head of family law at the largest family law firm in the country, and comedian Andrea Rappaport. We're going to hold your hand, we're going to help your heart, and you will avoid the biggest divorce mistakes. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
The biggest takeaway I hope that people get from listening to this podcast is that they make better decisions, but being proactive and not reactive.
But being proactive about your divorce can come with a lot of really big, uncomfortable feelings, especially when it pertains to your kids.
That's why I want you to consider using the co-parenting app to help with communication. We want you to look at the most court-respected app, Our Family Wizard.
Visit the landing page that we created together. There is a ton of useful information, and when you're ready to make the next step, Our Family Wizard is ready to support you.
Visit ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck20 to save 20% off your first year of the Essentials Package.
Well, exciting news in my neck of the woods, and this segment is not sponsored by the makers of Wayfair, not yet, but maybe, because we are in talks with them. Girl, Wayfair has got just what I need. I am now the proud owner of a brand spanking new dining room setup. New, gorgeous, like quartz top, extendable dining room table, some gorgeous white chairs. I've got a new chandelier coming later this week. I'm like living my best Wayfair life.
I'm a Wayfair liker or lover. I don't know. I'm maybe not a lover yet, but I'm a liker. I appreciate their customer service. I appreciate the difference in price points. And there's some very high-end things you can find there for not a lot of money.
I recently talked on our show about my new favorite customer service representative. His name is Leighton Allen, and he's in the Canary Islands. I think that's where he is. God, I hope that's where he is. Morgan, this guy has gone above and beyond. Like, I have his personal, not his personal email, but like his work email and his work phone. He called me today just to like check in and make sure everything was going okay.
I love this guy. Oh, you must have been annoying the absolute crap out of him for him to continue to answer your phone call, give you his email and his phone number. I mean, how many times did you talk to this guy?
Many. You know what? Wayfair, we love you. Sponsor this podcast. Like, come on. This is your audience right here. This is a room full of people who need affordable chandeliers and other things to decorate their new spaces. But if you're not there yet, if you're not quite in the land of decorating your new home because you are knee deep in the overwhelm stage of divorce because you're divorcing somebody powerful, then you've come to the right place.
That's right. So first of all, I'm going to be representing Andrea in a restraining order from Wayfair very shortly. We'll get through that.
Himself.
Good God, from the Canary Islands. But talking about what we're talking about today, one of the biggest mistakes I see people making, or is really just assuming, my spouse is an attorney or a business person or a CEO, so I am automatically going to lose. And I want you to know this, that is not how the divorce court works. And I want you to think about why these types of people, your spouse, use this to create fear. They want you to fear you're the unknown. They want you to fear their knowledge. And why do they want you to do that? Well, it's really easy when somebody's living in fear or they're maybe not as confident as they could be, as the other person may be, for that person to really start putting the pressure on them to get what they want.
And here's the thing, you guys, as great as they may sound, little insider tip, attorneys, they usually don't handle their own divorce really well when it comes to the emotional side of things.
I actually laugh because some attorneys are one of our worst clients, I think, for divorce lawyers, because they know enough to be dangerous in the law, but they don't know divorce law. And so it's a lot of learning curve for them, and they feel kind of that they're not up to speed, but they don't want to admit it. So there's a lot of overconfidence from lawyers who don't practice in divorce law. But the bottom line is, I don't care how smart someone is professionally or whether they're a lawyer or whatever they are, a doctor. Divorce is emotional for everybody. I have had CEOs in my office crying. I have had people who run billion-dollar companies crying. And it's not because it's sad. It is sad, but it's the combination of the pressure of the divorce, what's going on in the divorce, and just the overwhelming nature of a divorce. And so what I want you to know is that it doesn't matter if you're on Park Avenue or you're laying on the park bench, everybody has this emotion during divorce. And yes, there are some people that are better at things than others. And we're going to get into how to get over that and build yourself up so that you feel like you are in charge of your divorce.
Okay, so let's get right into that, because with everything that you just said being true, there is also the truth that you've got people out there who have more of a leg up on what's going on in the divorce process. Maybe it's because of their personal connections, their professional connections. Maybe it's just because they have more of a frame of reference because what they do every day in their line of work. So what can the other person do? What is the best way to counter, and I think I know what you're going to say, counter all of that knowledge?
Two things. One, stop underestimating yourself. And two, put your learning hat on. The only thing generally that the other side who is in a high position in their job or potentially is a lawyer, they might have, they're a little further in the game of knowledge than you are. It's like somebody who can maybe speak French really well. Well, it doesn't mean that you can't learn French. It's just you don't know French. And so when you come into that situation, I see way too many clients that just kind of wither and say, well, my spouse is a CEO and they do math all day long. And they say that this is how it's going to be. And if I don't agree, we're going to implode our entire estate. And we say, okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's take a step back. You're an intelligent person. What you don't know, it's my job to teach you so that you can learn and you can make the best decision for you. But stop underestimating yourself. I can't tell you, Andrea, how many people come into my office and they feel bad about themselves immediately because maybe they don't know. Maybe they haven't run the finances. Maybe they aren't a CEO or a lawyer or a doctor or whatever. But that doesn't mean that they can't learn. And more oftentimes than not, people who are in those positions, in the position of the stay-at-home parent or maybe in a lower earning job, they are just as smart as their spouse. They just haven't used those skills in a long time.
And there's a good chance that they're being told that they're not as smart. There's a good chance that a lot of this stuff that's in their head is because it's all by design. Somebody wants them to believe that they're less than so that they won't have the balls to fight them. And I understand, logically, I get what you're saying. I think everybody does, right? Like, believe in yourself. Don't underestimate yourself. But there's a lot of this here that it happened so quickly to start thinking, oh my God, I'm fucked. Oh my God, I can't go up against her. I can't go up against him because that's just how we've been conditioned. So my recommendation is, you used the analogy of learning French before. You know, he might speak French, you might not speak French, but that doesn't mean you can't learn French. Well, my opinion, and correct me if you don't agree, is rather than learning French yourself.
Just repeat after me. Je m'appelle Claude.
Je te coupe, Claude.
Let's try it again.
Okay.
Je m'appelle Claude.
Je te plie, Blue.
And yes, maybe learn it, go for it. Oui. But maybe you partner with somebody who speaks French fluently. You should also be aware, I don't think you should ever be a dum-dum and just trust somebody blindly, but wouldn't this be a time to align with somebody who's the best of the best?
I love that you led into that. I totally agree. I want to tell you a story. I had a case a while ago where I represented Brenda. And if you don't know, we have a resident couple on this podcast, Chad and Brenda.
It's Chad and Brenda.
This time I represented Brenda. Chad was the CEO and he was the founder of a very, very large company. He was a numbers guy. He had everything kind of planned out. He had their estate planning planned out. It was a very complex situation. Right. Brenda, a stay-at-home mom, raising the children. Brenda, very smart woman, but really didn't handle any of the financials. Lo and behold, they're getting divorced. They've been married a very long time. What is Chad doing? Chad is putting the pressure on Brenda. Brenda, you don't know this. The lawyers are trying to take our money. You know, what you're asking for is unreasonable. Here's why it's unreasonable. And basically what he was asking for is, let me just keep the majority of everything and have control of everything and you'll be fine. Just trust me post-divorce.
Just trust me.
Oui, oui, au revoir, whatever it is. So Brenda would always feel bad about herself. And I had to have so many conversations with Brenda to pump her back up. But what we ended up doing in that case was hiring two different experts, because Brenda needed to hear it from other people too. Mm-hmm. And we hired experts to pump up Brenda, let her understand the financials, have financial backing from a financial expert. We hired her own estate planner so that we could go toe-to-toe with what Chad was saying. And we really worked through these issues together. And it took a long time because Brenda was not completely comfortable with the process because she wasn't comfortable with herself and her knowledge. But ultimately, we got there. We got the case settled. She felt comfortable. She felt okay to make that decision. But you're right, Andrea. It did take other professionals coming in.
Because we are so wired to trust our partner. And all of a sudden now you're not trusting this person. And you don't know if your attorney doesn't know everything and you don't know. And so sometimes it really takes a panel of experts. And I'm so glad that you just told the story about Chad and Brenda, Chad being a business guy, because that's a whole other population of powerful people who maybe don't get divorced every day. And maybe they don't know the law as much as an attorney knows law, but they also are really intimidating to somebody because you always say how divorce is one big business deal. Well, that's right. Their wheelhouse. They are living in the world of navigating finances, negotiating, documenting, even cash flow manipulation. So beyond the panel of experts, what are some other thoughts you have, Morgan, on how somebody can best prepare for going up against a powerful person?
I want to follow up with one other story about Chad and Brenda on that one, because it was very interesting when we brought in the financial expert, because Chad was really kind of putting the full court press on Brenda to settle it the way he wanted. But the minute the financial expert came into the chat, Chad completely changed his tune because he knew he could not manipulate this financial expert. The numbers were the numbers. And the financial expert knew it. And I'm not saying Chad was doing anything untoward or inappropriate. It's just that once we brought that person in, Brenda could no longer be manipulated outwardly by Chad. So that's something to keep in mind in general. Just because somebody's a CEO or a lawyer or they have knowledge in a certain area that you don't doesn't equate to invincibility. They're not invincible. It doesn't equate to the fact that they're going to make a better impact on the judge. In fact, I would say in my many years of being a divorce lawyer, sometimes the high, powerful people are the worst witnesses, the absolute worst witnesses. And the reason is because at times they think they're, I won't even say it, doesn't stink. And they go up there and they want to tell everyone what it is and how to do it and what it's like. And then you go up there and you're the person that really doesn't have the knowledge, but you're really likable and you're really normal. And people are, you know, credibility wise, people really are drawn to the person who is normal. So a lot of times those powerful people don't present as well as they think they do.
It's so important what you just said, because I don't think that the non-CEO part of the divorce realizes that. And I really hope that they heard you and that they feel empowered in that moment, that the court really does favor the average Joe. The other person comes off looking a little too slick, a little too much, a little too perfect. And the other thing that you said that I think is such an important takeaway in regards to the business people is that just because they're familiar with complexities in the workplace and with everything they do with law and business, it does not equal invincibility. Just because you know your stuff doesn't mean that you are untouchable. So for the other side, do not emotionally surrender. Don't do that. Do not tuck your tail in and bow down. And the only thing that will help you beat panic is preparation. Preparation will always trump panic. It is like rock, paper, scissors. Preparation will beat panic. And the best way to be prepared is with our divorce crash course. Part of the reason why your divorce is getting so expensive is because you're making mistakes. And that is exactly why Morgan and I took time to create the new and improved divorce crash course. This is a private podcast and an online guidebook that holds your hand so you avoid the most expensive mistakes that people make in their divorce. It's $50 thanks to our friends at Our Family Wizard and SoberLink, and it is a game changer. Direct link in our show notes. Go get your hands on the new divorce crash course.
When your ex or your soon to be ex starts trying to play the power card, what you have to do is insulate yourself. So I'm going to tell the story of Chad and Brenda again. Chad knew the only way of getting the divorce done favorably to him, really, really favorably, was to manipulate Brenda, to really put the pressure on her. So he would make these proposals that were so one-sided. We got the experts on. He knew that we were on to him. And when he knew that we were on to him and that we had the experts in place and that we weren't going to have him pull a fast one on Brenda, what did he do? Would start calling Brenda on a Saturday. Hey, can we talk? Brenda didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Or would see Brenda at a child's sporting event, saddle up next to Brenda. Let me tell you about what I'm thinking and put it into nice terms. So then what happens is Brenda starts to think, am I crazy? Is my lawyer telling me the right thing? Are my financial people telling me the right thing? And that's really where you start to get that doubt. And why do you have that doubt? It's because you're self-doubting yourself and your team. And the reason you're doing that is because they are manipulating you. So I just want everyone to be really careful, because knowledge is power. We always say it on this podcast. You have your lawyer there for a reason. Why? To give you the knowledge so you have the power. If you don't understand something, say something. There's no shame in that. You should know exactly what's going on in your case. And if you need help with the numbers, hire someone. Ask your lawyer to do it. Whatever you need, it's out there for you.
There's something that it's a little bit of an unpopular topic, but I think that we should address it. The only thing that is stronger than love for a lot of people is their money. And even the nicest guy and the nicest person will dig in, yank out the claws if their money is being threatened. So you got to remember, even though you guys once had a very loyal, loving relationship, everything can change when somebody sees you now as a threat, and their future and what they perceive as their money is on the line, because the shittiest part about divorce is that everybody loses. You don't make money getting a divorce. You're giving something up. So naturally, everybody puts the death grip on everything that they have. So people who are not typically manipulative can get manipulative, just like you all see, you know, in these movies about business, guys who go out golfing together and like, oh, it's just a casual golf game. No, it's not. Somebody's trying to get a deal done. So just like Chad saddling up next to Brenda at the basketball game saying, oh, hey, how's it going? You look so stressed. Don't worry about it. This is what we should do. Don't listen to that goofy lawyer you hired. I'll give you a deal. It's fine. No girl.
Yeah, no girl. But it's also no guy too, because I see a lot of women with the money. And what I want you to say is to yourself, why is Chad saying to me, don't listen to your lawyer, or your lawyer's just trying to take our money? What is behind it? So that's the thing that I want you to remember. What is the manipulation there? And I want you to be really, really tough when you're having these conversations. And if Chad is continuing to seek you out, to state his case, make his play, I want you to stop talking to Chad. I want you to put up that boundary until you get through that rough part of the divorce.
Well, you kind of said it without saying it, but the people manipulate when they're afraid. If they did not fear that other attorney, then there would be no reason for the Chads or the Brendas of the world to tell their soon-to-be ex-spouse, don't work with that clown. They're saying that because they're scared, because they're threatened. So that should be your little clue in your brain that, like, okay, I'm actually doing something right. If they're trying to manipulate me more, that means that they are scared of losing something.
That's so, so true.
But here's the other side of it. You don't need me to tell you that you're already overwhelmed. You're already in this spot where you're exhausted. Maybe you're suffering from decision paralysis. Maybe you're used to feeling kind of dependent. Maybe you're really used to emotional manipulation. And you don't know who's manipulating you. Is it my attorney? Is it my soon-to-be ex-wife? I don't know. I hate everybody right now. I don't feel confident. I got you. That was me. So with that in mind, Morgan, I'm going to throw some questions your way, because I want to see how you would direct we the people. Okay. All right. So question number one, what if your spouse keeps telling you, you will never win against me?
First of all, you should laugh out loud and say, okay, thank you so much for your commentary, and move on. That's a bunch of bananas. Like, it just makes no sense. So don't even play into that. Just cut it off. Thank them for their comment and move on.
What would you tell yourself in that? So, like, let's say you respond the right way. Let's say the person says, thank you for your comment. And then they get back in their car afterwards and then their brain starts racing. What do they tell themselves?
What they tell themselves is give myself 20 minutes to calm down, write down what your spouse said, and then do a plan of action. Usually the plan of action that makes you feel better is gaining the knowledge. So what exactly is this person referring to? What do you think that person is worried about? And set a call with your lawyer to walk it through. And ask your lawyer, what is the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? If you know that in the range and you're okay in that range, you're fine.
And nobody asked me, but my two cents is if somebody looked at me and said, you will never win against me, I would think, oh, you're scared I'm going to win against you. Because if you weren't, you would have no reason to come up to me and say that. Next question, Morgan, what if they control all the money?
My answer is more times than not, it's your money too. And so control is just a temporary issue that can be remedied by the court, by mediation, by many different ways. If they control the money and you need it, go to your lawyer.
And if they control the money and you have questions about how do you get access to this money, this is where, in the Divorce Crash Course, we have a template for a balance sheet. This is where you would use that balance sheet and make a list of everything that you think exists out there, any accounts that you've once heard of, any assets that you could be entitled to, even if you don't know the value. This is just a place to put the information down, and it gives a framework for you, for your attorney, for maybe somebody at a lower price point at the firm, an associate, a paralegal, somebody to help you get all that information you need to find out what you really are entitled to. Next question, question number three. What if they're throwing legal language your way to intimidate you?
So unless they're a lawyer, most of the time they're using legal language the wrong way. If they're a lawyer and they're throwing legal language at you, you can just say right off the bat, I know why you're doing this. What I would do, again, write down what they said, use your friend ChatGPT or Claude or whoever you're talking to, and ask what that terminology means. Don't always rely on that, because I want you then to bring it to your lawyer and say, this is what my ex or my soon-to-be ex is saying. Why would they be saying it? In the moment, because you can't talk to your lawyer on a dime at all times, it might make sense to make you feel more calm if you ask ChatGPT or Claude or whoever on the internet what the legal terminology refers to. You might find, more often than not, that that terminology has nothing to do with what you're dealing with in your case. I would not be shocked.
I got a great place for you to go. Go to the private community that we run. Go to the How Not to Suck at Divorce community on Facebook, and you can write whatever they told you, and we will help suss it out. The other thing I'll tell you guys, I once divorced a person who was a real fan of, well, I'll just have to see you in court. If the wind blew to the southwest, I guess I was seeing them in court. And when those were first lobbed my way, it would kind of scare me. I would think, oh my God, they're going to file a motion? And then I kind of started looking forward to it. I'm like, ooh, am I going to see you in court? I never saw them in court over anything. It's all I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. Next question, last one. And this is a big one. This really speaks to what we tell ourselves about ourselves. What if you're feeling terrified that nobody's going to believe you compared to them because of who your spouse is professionally?
I think that's such a loaded question. And the way that I would maybe rephrase it is whether you think that someone's going to give your spouse the benefit of the doubt over you just because they have a title behind their name. And I will tell you, as a divorce lawyer doing this almost 20 years, most of the time when I have somebody like a Brenda who doesn't know what's going on, and we have Chad, the big, powerful CEO, I'm immediately coming into it kind of thinking, okay, what is Chad hiding? What is there to uncover that I need to know? And so the reality usually is that I'm giving Brenda the benefit of the doubt, because there's so much to learn about Chad's business and so many things to learn about what's been going on there. So I would come in thinking of it a little bit differently, that there's a lot to learn for you and for your lawyer.
And like we've said a few times, we just used the example just now of Brenda being the one who's the underdog here. That's not mean that that is always the case. Hell no. We are not saying that men are always the breadwinners and the powerful people. The point, you guys, the most dangerous thing is not your spouse being powerful. It's you believing that you have no power.
If you are divorcing somebody who feels intimidating, powerful, smarter, richer, or more connected than you are, please hear me when I say this. That does not mean you are powerless. You need to educate yourself with your attorney. Think about having another expert if you need backup. And I want you to, too, stop underestimating yourself, because knowledge is power. You will learn this stuff if you give it a chance and you ask the questions and you actually dive in. We know that you can do it. It's a big, big ask, but you can do it, even if it's not something that you always did in the past. Because here's the thing. You want to be that person that says, all right, I feel like I have all the facts. I feel like I have all the knowledge, and I'm ready to make the decision.
And remember, my friends, divorce is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Oh my God, Morgan, I'm doing your lines. Not every day is going to be a good day. You might have days that are absolutely horrible, where you are sitting next to Brenda at the basketball game. And then you might have days where you're dealing with Leighton from Wayfair, and everything is amazing. Regardless, we are here for you, to support you, to lift you up, to guide you through this journey called divorce. We've mentioned it a few times, but make sure you get your little paws on the Divorce Crash Course or any of the guides available on our website. They are designed to hold your hand and give you that extra guidance that will save you literally thousands of dollars in your divorce. We do this show for you. And remember, my friends, you have got this. And we have got you. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast shall not be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information heard in this podcast shall not and should not be used as legal advice.